Okay, so have you ever stopped and thought about who's actually responsible when something totally unexpected happens? Like picture this, someone gets hurt in some really weird accident, right? Or maybe you've got an employee who just goes totally rogue and causes a bunch of damage.
Yeah, those kinds of situations can get messy really fast.
Exactly. So today we're gonna dive deep into this whole world of tort law.
Tort law. It sounds a little intimidating.
It can be, but we're gonna make it fun. Specifically, we're gonna unpack two court cases that really dig into those questions of duty and liability. You know who's on the hook when things go wrong.
I'm ready to learn.
Awesome. We've got some fascinating material here, like the Fiocco v. Carver case, and another one that involves a detour gone wrong. Like, I mean, seriously wrong.
Detour gone wrong. That
Yeah.
sounds kind of intriguing.
Oh, it is. But first, before we get into the nitty-gritty, it's important to understand that even though these cases might seem kind of similar on the surface, they each turn on totally different legal principles.
Gotcha. So, even though they both involve some unexpected injuries, the legal reasoning behind each case is completely different.
You got it. So our mission today is to break down each case step by step. We're going to explore those core legal concepts and figure out when the law says, hey, you owe someone a duty, and when an employer's like, nope, not my problem.
Sounds like a plan. Where should we begin?
Well, to kick things off, let's start with a case that wrestles with the very basic question of when you even have a legal duty to another person.
Okay, so we are talking about the foundation of negligence.
Absolutely. And that takes us straight to Fiocco v. Carver and this little kid, Angelo Fiocco.
Let me guess, Angelo got hurt somehow.
Oh, yeah. So picture this point. Angelo decides to hop onto the back of a moving truck.
Wait, hold on. He just jumped on a moving truck.
Yep. And the driver and the truck owners had no clue he was even there.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It was, unfortunately. Angelo falls off the truck and gets hurt.
Oh man, that's awful. So then I am guessing this went to court.
You bet it did. And get this, the trial court and the appellate division, they both sided with Angelo. But then, twist ending, the New York Court of Appeals was like, nope, reverse that decision.
Whoa, a reversal. So, what was the big issue for the Court of Appeals? Why did they overturn the lower court's decisions?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Did the truck owners actually have a legal duty to keep Angelo safe, especially since he was basically an unauthorized passenger?
Yeah, I mean, he was a kid, and he hopped on the truck without permission. It's a tough one.
It is, and that's exactly what the Court of Appeals had to untangle.
And what did they decide?
They said in this specific situation, the truck owners didn't owe Angelo a duty of care until they knew he was on the truck.
So they were off the hook because they had no idea he was even there.
Precisely. And here's where it gets really interesting. The court was super careful to say that driving the truck itself wasn't breaking any laws, right? Like they were allowed to drive the truck.
Sure, they weren't doing anything illegal by just driving.
Exactly. But then the court went on to say, hold up. Just because you're driving legally, that doesn't mean you've automatically wronged Angelo. He had no business being on that truck in the first place.
So, if drivers had to constantly worry about every single person who might secretly jump on their vehicle, things would get crazy complicated.
Right, it just wouldn't be practical. And there's this one line from the case that really sums it up. It goes, the same act that was a wrong to the public was not a wrong to the plaintiff.
A wrong to the public versus a wrong to the plaintiff. That's a super interesting distinction.
It is. So if I'm getting this straight, the big lesson from Fiocco is that if someone's on your property or in your car without permission, like a trespasser, you generally don't owe them a duty of care until you actually know they're there and potentially in danger.
You've got it. That's the rule that came out of Fiocco. Property owners and vehicle operators don't typically owe trespassers a duty of care until they know those trespassers are there and that they might be in harm's way.
Now, I'm thinking back to our tort law basics. It's like those elements of a negligence claim we always talk about, right?
Yeah, duty, breach, causation, and damages.
Yep, those four. And in Fiocco, the court was like, hold up, there was no duty in the first place. Like before we even talk about if the truck owners messed up or caused Angelo's injuries, we have to establish if they even owed him a duty. And in this case, they didn't, at least not until they knew he was there.
Makes sense. And I think the source material brings up those railroad cases, which kind of highlights this whole idea of a duty arising when you know someone's in danger. Like, once a railroad company knows someone's on the tracks, boom, they have a duty to do what they can to avoid hurting that person.
Oh, that's a really good point. So the duty isn't like this automatic thing. It pops up depending on the situation and who's involved.
Exactly. Context is key.
Okay, so Fiocco is all about when that duty of care starts. Now, let's switch gears to a totally different scenario, one where we're assuming there's a duty of care, but the real question is, can an employer be held responsible when their employee goes way beyond their job description? And let me tell you, this next case, we don't have a name for it, but it's a wild ride, literally.
Okay, I am all ears. Let's hear about this unnamed case.
All right, so picture this. A delivery driver finishes his route, but instead of heading back to the garage like he's supposed to, he decides to visit his mother.
That's actually kind of sweet.
It is, but hold on, it gets crazier. After seeing his mom, he decides to give carnival rides to kids in the neighborhood using his employer's truck.
Wait, what? Carnival rides using a delivery truck?
I know, right? And guess what? During this little impromptu carnival, a child gets injured, even after the driver told him to get off the truck.
So the driver was being reckless, even after telling the child to get off. That's just asking for trouble.
And speaking of trouble, this whole thing landed in court.
I bet it did. So what happened?
Get this. The jury actually sided with the injured child and said the employer was liable.
So the employer was held responsible for the driver's carnival escapade.
Right, but then the appellate courts were like, hold on, not so fast. They couldn't agree on whether the employer should be held liable.
A split decision in the appeals court.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant.
It is. So it went all the way up to the New York Court of Appeals, and none other than the legendary Judge Cardozo wrote the majority opinion.
Judge Cardozo, wow. This case is getting more and more interesting. So what was the central question for the court?
They had to figure out under what circumstances an employer is actually responsible for what their employees do, especially when those employees go off on a tangent, legally speaking, you know, under that whole respondent superior thing, like let the master answer, the employer being the master.
Right. Respondent superior. It's basically saying that if you're the boss and you benefit from your employee's work, you should also bear some responsibility if they mess up while doing that work.
Exactly. It's about balancing the benefits of having employees with the potential risks that come with it.
Got it. So what did Judge Cardozo and the Court of Appeals decide about this carnival situation?
They said the employer wasn't liable. Cardozo called the driver's actions a frolic, meaning he totally abandoned his job duties.
Okay, so we are talking about the frolic and detour concept.
Yeah.
That's a big one in employment law, right?
Huge. And the court basically said that this driver's detour was so far removed from his job, so unrelated to his deliveries, that it completely took him outside the scope of his employment.
Okay, let me see if I understand this. It's like if a delivery driver stops for a quick coffee, that might be a minor detour, probably still within the scope of employment. But if they decide to drive miles away to do something totally unrelated to work, that's a frolic.
You got it. And this carnival situation was definitely considered a frolic.
That makes sense. But what about the fact that the driver might have planned to eventually return to work? I mean, he had to take the truck back to the garage at some point, right?
Right. And that's where this case gets even more interesting. Cardozo said that even though the driver might have planned to get back to work eventually, his unauthorized little side adventure was still going on when the child got hurt. It's like the consequences were still unfolding.
So even if he had good intentions to finish his work later, the fact that he was in the middle of this personal frolic when the injury happened, that's what really mattered.
Exactly. And that's a key takeaway. Now, the court didn't give us a clear checklist, but we can see from their decision that they considered a bunch of factors to determine if an employee's actions are within the scope of their employment. Like, how far did they deviate from their duties? What were they doing during the detour? Was it connected to their job at all? How long did the detour last? And to some extent, what was the employee's intention? But even an intention to return to work might not be enough to protect the employer if the detour was a major departure from the job.
So it's all about the details, right?
Mm.
And in this case, the carnival frolic was just way too far outside the boundaries of a typical delivery route.
You got it. So, big picture takeaway from this unnamed case. If an employee goes rogue and takes a personal detour, like a frolic, the employer isn't automatically responsible for what happens, even if the employer was using company property and planned to get back to work eventually.
Gotcha. It breaks that connection between the employee's actions and the employer's responsibility, like a legal separation.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've looked at Fiocco v. Carver and this unnamed case about the detour-turned-carnival. Now let's do a little side-by-side comparison. As we've already said, both involve kids getting hurt, which is probably why they were lumped together in our source material.
Yeah.
But they're about completely different areas of law.
Totally. While both cases involve those unfortunate injuries, the legal focus is completely different. Fiocco dives into the very foundation of negligence, that duty of care, especially when you have an unexpected and unauthorized person involved, like a trespasser. It all boils down to when the law says you have to act carefully around someone, even if they shouldn't be there in the first place. So in Fiocco, the big question was, did the truck owners even owe a duty to little Angelo when they didn't even know he was on their truck?
Exactly. Now compare that with the unnamed case, the one with the carnival detour. The existence of a duty wasn't really the issue there. I mean, the driver was operating a vehicle and was an employee, so he definitely owed a duty of care to the people around him. The main question was whether the employer should also be held responsible for what the driver did, especially since he went so far off track from his work responsibilities.
Okay, so one case, Fiocco, zeroes in on the core of negligence, that duty of care in a situation with a trespasser. And the other case is all about vicarious liability, which is basically saying, hey, can we hold the employer responsible for what their employee did?
Precisely. And this distinction is crucial for anyone trying to understand how tort law works. Negligence cases hinge on those four key elements: duty, breach, causation, and damages. In Fiocco, the court basically said, there's no duty here, so we don't even need to discuss the rest. But in the employer liability case, the focus was on whether what the employee did could be considered part of his job. That's the key to figuring out if the employer could be held liable.
So to wrap things up, what are the big takeaways from these two deep dives into the legal weeds? What should our listeners, especially those law students out there, really remember?
From Fiocco, remember this. If someone's on your property or in your vehicle without permission, like a trespasser, you generally don't have legal responsibility to ensure their safety until you know they're there and could be in danger. Their legal rights are limited until you become aware of them.
Makes sense. So don't stress too much if a squirrel falls out of a tree on your property. You didn't invite him there. What about that wild case with the detour and the carnival? What's the big lesson there?
In that case, the main takeaway is that employers aren't automatically responsible for every single thing their employees do, especially when those employees go off on major personal detours, those legal frolics. The employer is likely off the hook, even if the employee was using company stuff and intended to get back to work later.
So if my employee decides to use the company car to go on a cross-country road trip, I'm probably not liable for any fender benders along the way?
Most likely not, especially if it was completely unauthorized. And that's important because it recognizes that employers can't be expected to micromanage their employees' every move.
Okay, so for all those legal eagles out there, what are the key points they should really burn into their memories from our deep dive today?
I'd say pay close attention to Judd Cardozo's reasoning in the employer liability case. It's really important to understand that distinction between a minor detour, which might still fall under the scope of employment, and a major detour, that frolic, which is a clear abandonment of duty. And don't forget about Fiocco. The court didn't even need to consider if there was a breach of duty or if the truck owners caused Angelo's injuries because they said there was no duty in the first place. It's all about that first element, duty. And as the source material mentions, even though the driver in the detour case planned to return to work, it didn't erase the liability because those consequences of his actions were still playing out when the child got hurt. It's super important to consider the policy considerations that courts grapple with in these cases. They're constantly trying to find that balance between compensating injured people and making sure defendants aren't held responsible when it's not fair or legally justified. In the detour case, Judge Cardozo didn't want to create a duty out of charity, especially when it was so clear that the employee had totally abandoned his job. That really highlights this delicate balancing act that courts have to do.
These cases really show us how complex tort law can be. It's not as simple as saying someone got hurt, so someone else has to pay. We have to consider the legal relationships, what obligations already exist, and the specific circumstances of each situation.
Absolutely. It's like a legal puzzle where every piece matters.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes you think about how these established legal principles will apply as our world keeps changing. Like, what about the gig economy, where it's not always clear who's an employee and who's an independent contractor? How do these rules about duty and employer liability play out in those situations? And what about self-driving cars? When those get into accidents, who's responsible? Could the company that made the car be held liable? These cases from the past give us a starting point to tackle these new and evolving legal questions that we're facing today.
That's a wrap for today, folks. Food for thought. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of duty, liability, and all that legal jazz. We'll catch you next time.
See you then.